Hi, I'm Tara Brabazon, and welcome to this, our ninth session of Creative Industries. Tourism is one of the most under-discussed parts of the creative industries palette, but it adds economic and social value to so many other industries, including sport and music. So in this session, we discuss tourism and how it constructs differences between people, while offering valuable insights on how we think about identity, and how we think about identity when we move. I want you to try and think about travelling and what it means when you travel through a place and how that changes your understanding of culture, of society, of economics and identity. Importantly, tourism is one of the major industries of the post-Fordist, post-industrial economy. Tourism also overlays with most of the other topics we're talking about in creative industries. Liverpool sustains its tourism through the memory of the Beatles. Music tourism remains the pivot for that economy. The Olympics, the Commonwealth Games, the World Cup bring thousands of people to a city to watch a spectacle. This is sports tourism. The future of the creative industries will be determined by many of the successes of these connections. Tourism is one of the many areas that's creating a productive relationship between media studies and the new creative industries approaches. But you will find much of this innovative work is appearing in New Zealand as they market the Lord of the Rings tourism, or in Canada and in Ireland with attention to sports tourism. But academic attention is growing. What we're learning is that there's no single tourism. It varies by social group and historical period. Similarly, there's no single or universal tourist experience. So what we call a tourist experience actually is dependent on what we call a non-tourist experience. As we discussed earlier in our sessions, there's this amazingly changeable relationship between work and leisure. Therefore, tourism is always transforming. It's always altering in its definition. Early in the 20th century, tourism was part of Fordism, or mass production and mass consumption. So a large number of people would go to a place, generally on a bus, and do very similar things. But tourism now is new. It's become segmented, flexible, and customised. Tourism is no longer a clearly demarcated or separated experience, but instead it links up with art, education, photography, television, video, music, sport, shopping, and architecture. So one of our original definitions of creativity in the second session in this course came from J.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings that was published in 1954 and 1955. But this publishing success story is only part and the start of the creative industries journey. New Zealand director Peter Jackson released the filmic trilogy in 2001, 2002 and 2003. The films were shot in Aotearoa, New Zealand, whose environment, of course, seemed a dead ringer for Middle Earth. I've always thought this was particularly ironic because the point of Tolkien's writing, Lord of the Rings trilogy, was to create a new mythology for England. Therefore, it's odd that the outer reaches of the former empire provided the iconography and the setting for the filming of the supposedly new English mythology. Further, the monopoly of the American blockbuster was suddenly crushed, as Hollywood was replaced by Wellywood, with Wellington providing the facilities, marketing, graphic design for these films. The Return of the King, the final instalment, is only the second movement in history, tragically after Titanic, to earn US $1 billion. The Lord of the Rings is now part of popular culture, but New Zealand tourism has capitalised on this fame. There are many companies that now specialise in remaking Aotearoa New Zealand into Middle Earth for fans of the films. In 2004, Air New Zealand flights had paper on their headrest stating, "Welcome to Middle Earth." That's clear. So these links between popular culture and a concrete landscape actually built creative industries and tourism. Importantly, not only has New Zealand tourism capitalised on this profile in the short term, but they've built long-term policies around it. Because of this planning, when C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe became successful in the summer of 2005-06, their immediate facilities to immediately create these tours and tourism structures around the new film. So the success of the Narnia tours are really yet to be seen, but the experience of the Lord of the Rings tourism means that operators were successfully able to transform popular film and popular tourism. Brilliant. So through New Zealand's successful integration of film and tourism, a long-term creative industry strategy was formed. Legendary global creative industries guru, remember Richard Florida, even commenced his 2005 book with the Lord of the Rings case study. So it's really of international standard, and it is fascinating. So a landscape has been inflected by popular culture for the development of a new industry. Tourism remains a quest for an authentic experience of the world, but it conveys a lot about our dissatisfaction with our present. This desire for the past is the punctuation of contemporary travel documentaries and the booming era of television. Remember lifestyle programming, as shown through programs like the Lonely Planet series. But the point I'd like you to remember from this session is clear. Travel culture always teaches far more than geography. Lessons on the map are an education about the relationship between power and knowledge. As Anne Bancroft's wonderful character explains in 84 Charing Cross Road, we find the London that we look for. But if we actually go to that filmic address, 84 Charing Cross Road, the colonial traveller won't find the bookshop. In fact, the site is vacant. There's probably a lesson there. Tourists invent the place that we most desire. Even the most antipodean of nations can suddenly gain an economic future as Middle Earth.